Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Are cryptocurrency markets still the Wild West? The new head of the SEC says he wants to rein them in, but crypto traders may not be on board.
They thought that he would be friendly to them because he had taught a class on blockchain at MIT. He definitely knows the technology well, but what he indicated this week is that he is going to be a tough cop.
And the Biden administration sets an ambitious target for electric vehicle sales. Plus, why diapers have gotten more expensive. It's Thursday, August 5th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The Biden administration is setting new goals to reduce carbon emissions from vehicles. Today, the White House announced a plan to create stricter fuel efficiency standards for new cars and trucks, which were eased under the Trump administration. The Environmental Protection Agency proposed new rules that would require automakers to achieve average fleet-wide fuel efficiency equivalent of 52 miles per gallon by the 2026 model year. That's an industry measure that takes both fuel efficiency and emissions reductions into account. The Biden administration also announced its goal to increase EV sales so that roughly half of all cars and light trucks sold in the U.S. by 2030 would be electric, hydrogen fuel cell, or plug-in hybrid vehicles. Here's our reporter, Katie Stetch-Ferrick.
Automakers have long been expecting the Biden administration to set new fuel efficiency targets, and so they had been preparing for this moment for a while in terms of how are they going to meet new, more ambitious, strict targets for both greenhouse gas emissions, you know, what comes out of the tailpipe, and for fuel economy standards, which the Department of Transportation has set since the 70s. One way to meet that has always been turn out more electric vehicles, and automakers have pledged to spend more than $300 billion globally to try to get their operations better in line to turn out more electric vehicles in the next couple of years. They've already been prepared to try to boost EV sales, boost EV capacity, work to make sure they're working with suppliers to get where they need to be.
Meanwhile, we report exclusively that oil giant ExxonMobil is considering a pledge to reduce its net carbon emissions to zero by 2050. That's according to sources who say CEO Darren Woods is facing pressure from investors to demonstrate a bolder path to reducing emissions. Earlier this year, an activist hedge fund, Engine No. 1, launched an internal pressure campaign to push the company toward more investments in clean energy. The fund elected 3 new members to the board. Robinhood is still on a wild ride. Shares of the retail trading app fell 28% today after a filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission indicated that early investors can sell up to 98 million shares, currently worth almost $5 billion over time. Robinhood said it wouldn't receive cash from the sales and that the selling stockholders will receive the proceeds if they choose to sell. Shares had soared earlier this week, reaching an intraday high of $85 yesterday. Amazon is delaying the return to the office for its corporate employees until early next year due to a surge in COVID-19 cases fueled by the highly transmissible Delta variant. It's the latest company to join a wave of businesses pushing back office returns. Wells Fargo and Microsoft have also announced they won't be going back until at least October. In New York, state lawmakers say their impeachment investigation into Governor Andrew Cuomo is nearing its end. They've given the governor 8 days to submit evidence in his defense after a state investigation found that he sexually harassed multiple women who worked for him. Cuomo has repeatedly denied inappropriately touching anyone. Earlier this week, President Biden and other top Democrats called for Cuomo's resignation. And labor leader Richard Trumka, president of the AFL-CIO, has died at the age of 72. The cause of death was believed to be a heart attack. Trumka had led the nation's largest labor federation, which includes 56 unions and 12.5 million members, since 2009. He was a prominent supporter of Democrats and a strong voice on labor issues in Washington. Coming up, how crypto traders are responding to calls for more regulation.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems, developing hybrid electric engines and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
The risks of crypto markets have been getting a lot of attention lately, including from regulators, as new innovations crop up in digital currency. This week, SEC Chair Gary Gensler called crypto markets the Wild West and called for stronger protections for investors. But the push toward greater regulation will likely mean clashes with crypto traders. Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal reporter Alexander Osipovich. Hi, Alexander. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So, Alexander, crypto markets have long resisted regulation. Why have they been able to escape what we see in other markets and types of trading?
So, a lot of crypto people are of a libertarian nature, and they feel that what they should be doing just shouldn't be regulated and should just exist outside of government oversight. In addition to that, there are some legitimate ambiguities in the securities laws and other financial regulations about what they cover. And so a lot of these teams have been able to sort of slip past them and even get lawyers' opinions saying that, nope, you don't need to register.
And what power does the SEC currently have to step in?
So the SEC has a lot of authority over what are called securities. Securities are stocks that you and I trade. A lot of bonds are also securities, and there are various other things that fall under the definition of securities. So as long as a particular digital asset falls within a definition, the definition of a security, then the SEC can force the issuer of that digital asset to register and comply with a whole bunch of investor protection laws. It can require that those be traded on regulated platforms and many other requirements. But it all hinges on whether that particular crypto token is a security or not.
So let's talk more about what SEC Chair Gary Gensler is proposing here in terms of further regulation of crypto markets. What exactly is he looking to do?
So Gary Gensler has sent a signal that he wants to use the SEC's existing authority to the maximum. He seems to be saying that there are some areas that so far have not been caught within the definition of a security that he thinks do count as securities, and he plans to regulate those. He's not really planning any new rules exactly, but he also did include a call for Congress to introduce additional legislation that would essentially expand the remit of regulators to cover a lot of crypto activities.
So there are a number of challenges here for the SEC stepping in to further try to regulate crypto markets. Can you tell us broadly about some of them?
One of the biggest challenges for the SEC is simply resources. There are, over $1.5 trillion worth of crypto assets out there, and the SEC has a limited staff, a limited budget, and it's busy covering the stock market and traditional markets too. So its enforcement people can only go selectively after a certain number of wrongdoers. So they are going to have to go through some of those cases, figure out what they want to target, what message they want to send to the industry, and fight through those cases, which could involve litigation in some cases. And some of these cases can take years to play out in court. Another challenge is that the existing securities laws don't cover everything happening in cryptocurrencies. For instance, there are some digital assets, like Bitcoin most prominently, that don't seem to count as securities, and they just don't seem to be covered under much of any regulation at all. And to have a regulator really oversee what's going on there would require new laws from Congress.
And what about some of the newer innovations in crypto markets? That, I would imagine, is also a challenge to keep ahead of as well.
There are new emerging areas of the crypto markets which so far have essentially escaped regulation, and Gary Gensler has indicated that he would like to regulate them. One of these areas of the sort of frontier of crypto markets is stablecoins. Stablecoins are basically cryptocurrencies that are pegged to a national currency, usually the U.S. dollar. Sometimes they hold underlying reserves in order to maintain a one-to-one peg between the coin and the dollar. And they're huge. There's over $100 billion worth of stablecoins out there. Gary Gensler has expressed the view that some of these should be regulated as securities, which would essentially mean that they act like money market funds that you might have in your brokerage account. And these types of funds have to make very detailed disclosures about what they hold and why they maintain that one-to-one peg to the dollar. Another very wild and woolly, unregulated area of the crypto markets is what they call decentralized finance, or DeFi. This is an area that has boomed over the past year. Investors have put tens of billions of dollars into various DeFi projects. And what this basically means, it's an attempt to replicate the financial system and things like trading, lending, even derivatives trading through different internet platforms where there's no central entity that governs the whole process. Gary Gensler has indicated that he would like to see some more regulation there.
Now, Gensler has said he wants to better protect crypto investors. What do his comments signal to them? How are they responding?
Many crypto investors don't seem to want Gary Gensler's protection. When President Biden chose him to lead the SEC earlier this year, many crypto investors cheered. They thought that he would be friendly to them because he had taught a class on blockchain at MIT. He definitely knows the technology well, but what he indicated this week is that he is going to be a tough cop, and he is going to make sure that existing securities laws apply to crypto and that potentially Congress should write new laws for crypto. This is not what a lot of crypto people wanted to hear. They were hoping to essentially continue to operate outside of regulatory oversight and have the FCC essentially carve out broad exemptions in the law so they could keep on doing their thing.
And what is Congress's appetite to write new laws, as Gensler has asked, and get involved here?
There is definitely ferment within Congress for new crypto legislation. The bipartisan infrastructure bill, backed by President Biden, includes some provisions related to taxation of crypto. Essentially, they are hoping to step up tax collection from people making profits from their crypto trades. There are also some other bills floating out there that would kind of introduce new regulatory frameworks around crypto. But as you know, Congress moves slowly on everything. It doesn't get a lot of things done. And it's kind of the jury is out on whether Congress will accomplish any of this.
Wall Street Journal reporter Alexander Osipovich, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Finally, inflation has bumped up a lot of prices for consumer goods, including diapers. They've gone up 12% over the past year. And Procter & Gamble and Kimberly-Clark, the two main producers of diapers, say they're planning to raise prices even more. It's because of the materials diapers are made of. Most disposable diapers have layers of blended materials. The fluffy part is made from wood pulp. But lumber costs have gone through the roof this year, jacking up the price of wood and pulp. But the biggest culprit for the price hikes are those absorbent beads in the middle. Here's David Garfield, managing director of Alex Partners, who's worked in the consumer products industry for almost 30 years.
Some of those ingredients or materials that are incorporated into diapers are derived from petroleum. And so with the increase in the price of the barrel of oil comes an increase in the material that goes into making diapers. There's also the knock-on effect of diesel fuel prices up, which impact the transportation costs as well as the material costs.
For more on the rising costs of diapers, check out the video on our website, wsj.com. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.